Today, the topic that was requested was the Tamei HaMitzvos according to the Rambam. Now, the reason why you probably asked for this topic is because the Rambam's position about Tamei HaMitzvos is so perplexing and difficult. Even though it appears in his Guide to the Perplexed, one tends to be more perplexed after having finished it than before one starts. So that's, I assume, why you asked. Now, the only problem is that I'm quite perplexed about this matter as well. So while I agreed to discuss the topic, that doesn't that shouldn't mean to indicate that it's something that I understand or that I'm fit to speak about, but I'll try my best. That's also the reason why in past weeks the Maamar Komos were short, and this week they're 26 pages, and it was hard to actually get it down to 26. And the reason is because the less you understand, the more I have to sort of learn it together with you, and that's what I hope to do. I don't really understand much of what we're going to discuss, but hopefully together we'll get to an understanding. Now, I decided to divide this up into two sections. We'll do one this week, Be'ezrat Hashem, and one next week. Initially, the first section was, in general, what the purpose of mitzvos are generally, and then the second section is specifically the reason for this mitzvah, the reason for that mitzvah, and the like. What I decided is we'll do the opposite order, even though that's not the way he presents it in his Sefer, because this week is Parshas Vayikra. And what I thought we would do is we would start off with one of the famous examples or controversial examples that the Rambam gives for a mitzvah, and we'll look specifically at what he has to say, and then next week we'll discuss Tamei Mitzvos generally after we discuss this one specifically. I'll just start with a great quote from Rosh Hashanah Rafal Hirsch, who of course wrote a work on Tamei HaMitzvos himself, and this is a sentiment that I'm sure is expressed and felt by most, whether it's a Sefer HaChinuch, Rav Hirsch, the Rambam, who write Tamei HaMitzvos. And he essentially writes that there are worries to be weighed. This is in 19 letters. Might I not cause harm instead of helping? And suppose my attempt fails? Will not those who would gladly do away with the cause for which I am living use my abortive efforts to strangle this cause entirely? Essentially, he's saying that Tamei HaMitzvos is dangerous. Maybe by offering reasons, I'm going to cause more harm than good. And of course, by definition, it's very dangerous. You're limiting the infinite. The Torah and the mitzvos reflect the infinite wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we try to offer reasons, then we are limiting the infinite by definition. There's really many additional dangers, and those we're going to talk about next week, the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin about Lama lo nisgala taima Torah, why were the reasons for the Torah not given? The Gemara says because there were three examples where they were given, and Shlomo HaMelech went ahead and said, well, those reasons don't apply to me, certainly for all other people and all other mitzvot. So we're going to talk about that next week, but we're going to start off with one particular example, and that's the Ramban's position on Karbanos, Parshas HaShavua, and then next week we'll speak more generally. This position of the Rambam is particularly famous because the Ramban quotes it. Nobody studies Marn Vuchim, but people do study Ramban ala Torah. And the Ramban, in this week's Parsha, Vayikra Perak Aleph Pasuk Tes, quotes the reason that the Rambam gives for Karbanos. We'll carefully read it and see if it's as simple as it's presented, and then he rejects it. The reason that he quotes from the Rambam is that the purpose of Karbanos was to counteract the idolatrous inclinations of the Jewish people at the time, meaning to say the Jewish people leaving Egypt, they were steeped in idolatry, they were used to idolatry, and if you were to tell them immediately not to serve idolatry, that would have been too difficult for them. They would have been overwhelmed. So this was a concession. One way of looking at it is like a dibratar keneged yetzer hara. Eishes yifas Torah, for example, is a case where probably everybody would agree that's true. It's not that Eishes yifas Torah is ideal. On the contrary, it's something that's dangerous that the Torah doesn't like. But because doing it in a specific fashion, in a legislated fashion, is better than what would happen if the Torah hadn't permitted Eishes Yifas Tohar, so the Torah was matir, but not that that's something that's ideal in any way. Now, the Rambam writes this about many, many mitzvos, not just karbanos. In fact, the Rambam spends, I don't know, 15 chapters of the third chelek of Mor Nevuchim talking about Tameh HaMitzvos. And in the very end, in the end of Perek Mem Tes in Chelek Gimel, he writes sort of a postscript. After going through almost all the reasons, he writes in this edition, it says Chasima, this is the Kapach edition, V'chol shenelam tamo mirov hachukim eino ela laharchik me'avod azara. Any reason which basically, when you have a chok, you can't figure out, you could presume it's to distance people from idolatry. V'osam apratim asher ne'elam mimeni tamam v'lo yadati mato elasam. Those mitzvos, which I don't know the reason for. In other words, I just went through almost reasons for almost everything. But if there's any that I don't know, sivas hadavar lefi she'en advarim hanishma'im kenirim lefikach ein bichdi mashi yadati, bichdei mashi yadati, ani mishtus hatzava, tzava. Tzava was the type of avodah zarah that was most common at the giving of the Torah. Tzava is an Arabic word, I believe. It relates to goats. We see many times in the Torah is specifically concerned about avodah zarah to goats and shedim. For example, when in Vayikra, it prohibits shchutei chutz. It says, v'lo yizbechu od la'sirim asher hem zovchim, or Sirim, Seir, it's goats, and this is connected to Shadim, like in the end of Sefer Dvarim, it says, Yizbuchu l'Shadim la'aloha, that this is, in English, it's sometimes called Sabians. It's what the Rambam refers to as the Tzaba.
Like a Seder? S-A-T-Y-R?
Seir?
It's Seder? In English, it's Seder.
It could be. In some of the translation of English, which I use, they translate it as Sabians. In the Kapach edition, he translates it as Tzaba, but it's a similar thing. It's an idea, it's a really fascinating idea. Parenthetically, if you look at the Ramban in his interpretation of Seir la'Azazel and what the purpose is, he says a remarkable thing which relates to this, something to consider. Maybe another time we could talk about the Ramban. It's one of the more perplexing Rambans. I remember, I didn't even believe he said it when he said it, but he seems to be saying something along those lines. We'll get there perhaps another time. So he's saying basically, and I won't read you the rest of this paragraph, but he says, you know, if there's any reason which I don't know, that's simply because I haven't read enough about idolatrous practices at the time of the giving of the Torah. Because you could presume that any mitzvah whose reasons we don't know relates to idolatry. And though he very frequently quotes, there are not enough booklets, so if we could just share. There's very frequently he quotes from Sifrei Avodah Zarah. He had many at his disposal, but he's saying, if I knew more, I could give you the reasons for any even more mitzvahs. You see this in Mishneh Torah. In Mishneh Torah, when you look at the halachos which relate to Avodah Zarah, they are very, very many. Things like Lo Sakifu and the like. And when you look at Mor Nevuchim, it's even more. Right? For example, when he talks about Basar B'chalav, so one of his theories as to the reason is it relates to Avodah Zarah. And of course, he has Diyukim. He thinks that's why the Torah says it three times. It's always in context of Aliyah L'Regel, because they used to, as part of their Avodah Zarah practice of serving their gods on their holidays, they would engage in some form of Basar B'chalav, and that's why the Torah said not to. We'll get to there maybe next week. But many, 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 many things. And Avodah Zarah is one of them. So that's what the Rambam quote is quoted for as this week's Parsha, on the reason for Karbanos, and he rejects that. Why does he reject it? So I'll just briefly outside tell you the Ramban, and then we'll see that the Rambam's position himself is not at all clear. Essentially, what I'm going to try to show you tonight is the Rambam says, at the very least, four different things, each of them which has different implications. And when you put them all together, you have a very, very complex view of the Rambam in terms of the tamim for karbanos, much, much more complex than just saying that they're a concession to the idolatrous views at the time. And a similar approach could be taken for many of the things which he says about Avodah Zarah. So what does the Ramban ask? The Ramban says this doesn't make any sense because, first of all, first critique is very, very powerful. He says, look, the Pasuk itself says, Yisher Reach Nichoach LaHashem. How could you say that this is just to counteract the idolatrous inclinations of the people, that there's no positive value? Yisher Reach Nichoach LaHashem. Fine. That's a very powerful question, which we'll see more about. Then he asks some questions which are a little bit less powerful. He asks, well, how was it that Noach brought Karbanos after he came out of the Teva? After all, there was no Avodah Zarah in the world at the time. So to that you could respond, well, yes, but maybe Avodah Zarah was rampant way before the Mabul, and maybe Noach was specifically out to sort of be misaking the world from the evils which caused its destruction. The Ikrim actually takes an approach like that. Then he asks he doesn't put it this way, but I'm putting it this way. Naniach Noach, but what about Cain and Hevel? Hevel brought a karban, and that was certainly before there was any idolatry in the world. Rav Hirsch makes a big deal of this question in his commentary on the Book of Bereishis. Again, here too, you could answer it. The Ritva has a work called the Sefer HaSchus. We're going to quote from it later tonight. The Sefer HaSchus was a defense of the Marnevuchim from the Kashas of the Ramban and others. So the Ritva says, if the Ramban would have known about what the Rambam writes in Marnevuchim about Kain Ve'Avel, he wouldn't have been bothered by this. It's not so clear what he means, but the Rambam in Chelak Beis of Marnevuchim, when he talks about Kain Ve'Havel, so he writes that Kain Ve'Havel weren't really the best people, even though Kain certainly, even Havel, he says you could see from his name that he wasn't what was supposed to become mankind, and that's why their lineage was wiped out, and human beings basically originate from Sheis. And you can't bring too many rayos to greatness from Hevel, just like you can't from Cain. And then, so those are his questions. And then what does he answer? He says, well, if you want a tam al pi pshat, you should follow the Ibn Ezra, that the purpose of the karbanos is to instill certain feelings and emotions in the person who is makriv a karban. For example, and this reason, interestingly, would only relate to sin offerings, chatas and asham, and maybe ol as well. Ol is brought to be machapran and isra say. It wouldn't help for shlamim, presumably. But he says that the person who brings the karban, so when he does shchita, he feels like he should have been killed for his chait, smicha, and all the avodos correspond to the emotions that a person who has sinned should experience. Couple of lines. As I said, this is from Vayikra Aleph Tes. So he says, if you want to give a reason, I'll peep shot, this is what you should do. That's why you do smicha. V'yisvada b'fiv k'neged adibor. So you do k'neged the chait b'dibor, you do vidoy, the yisrof b'eish hakerev haklayos shehem klei machshava v'atayv, and that's why the kerev haklayos are burned on the mizbeach, the karayim k'neged yad v'raglav shal adam ha'osim komlachto, and then we sin with our mind, our hearts, our hands, our legs, so those are burnt as well. V'yisrof adam ha'osbeach k'neged damo b'nafsho k'dei sheyachshav adam v'asoso kol eile. Fine, that's the tam al pi pshat. Then the Ramban gives a tam al pi sod. That's the most of what he says. I won't tell you that now. It's also, you should note that the Ramban gives different reasons elsewhere. For example, in Shar Gemul, he gives an additional reason and the like. But that's not our issue. It's much more, when I was praying this year, the hard part was to just focus on the Rambam and not all the other opinions, which are much easier to understand about Tamei and Mitzvos. So that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to focus on the Rambam. So, first of all, just a general introduction. One of the greatest perplexities, again, inherently and intuitively, we shudder at the idea that karbanos could just be to counteract the idolatrous inclinations. People wonder, you know, well, what about lasid lavo? Every day we daven, v'tzei Hashem alkeinu ba'amcha yisol v'yisli lasam, she'ei, please Hashem, right, be pleased with your nation Israel and listen to their tefillos, v'ashev es avoda lidvir beisach, and return the avoda to your holy, most holy house. Why are we davening for the restoration of the avoda? Presumably, for the most part, avodah zarah has been eradicated in the world, and certainly Bimos HaMashiach will have been eradicated. Why are we davening for it, if that's the only purpose? And for the Rambam, the question is particularly poignant. I'll just tell you a story. I had a friend whose grandfather was the president or the, I don't know, the chancellor of HUC, Hebrew Union College, the Reform Rabbinical Seminary in Cincinnati. So he was once talking to his grandfather about this, and his grandfather said, you don't really believe that the Rambam thought that you would bring karbanos bimos HaMashiach. So my friend told him, have you ever learned Sefer Avoda? Sefer Karbanos? So his grandfather admitted no, and said, anyone who would put such effort, you know, of all the Rishonim who focused on Kachim, it's the Rambam. The Rambam writes in his Pirush Mishnayos how awful it is that people, you know, forgot to study Kachim and Taros. If there's anyone who was mashkia in and you see the absolute brilliance of the Rambam in his Seder Havoda and Seder Karbanos, to believe that he didn't actually think that any of this was actually ever going to be relevant, and it was all a bunch of narishkeit because of the stupid idolatry at the time, and then spend so much time and have such brilliance, absolute brilliance. You see the godless of the Rambam in a sense more than any other place in Avodah Kachim. Not that it's more brilliant, but it's easier to see, I think. And to say that he just thought that was a bunch of narishkeit, so that's what he told his grandfather. So his grandfather admitted that was a pretty strong question. I don't know if he changed his mind, but the Rambam, the question is even more perplexing in the Rambam, because the Rambam writes more than anyone else. If you look, for example, in Yud Gimel Ikarim, but he says the same thing in Yad HaChazaka and in Mar Nebuchim about the eternality of the Torah. One of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, of course, is that the Torah is eternal, that it can't be added to nor detracted from, that it will never change. Other Rishonim seem to criticize this. Sefer Ikrim challenges this. He says, who knows, maybe in B'mos HaMashiach everything will change. There are various chazals that seem to perhaps go against this, that talk about certain mitzvos being batel asid lavo. Maybe another time we'll talk about what the Rambam's position is. They're not really cautious at all, if you understand what the Rambam really held. But leaving those aside, the Rambam is this super person who believed in Nitzchias HaTorah, that the Torah, that the mitzvos were Nitzchi, that they will never, ever change. And then to say that they're just built to contradict the stupid, idolatrous feelings of the Goyim and the Jews who lived at that time, but don't represent anything more than that, is such a problematic idea. How could he say both things? Yes, they're nitzchi, 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 even though the tam is batal. For rov to dine Torah, right? Certainly rov chukim. He told you rov chukim relate to avodah zarah. And then he says that that's just to go against. So clearly we can't, again, just dismiss the Rambam as in terms of that. And again, hopefully this week and next week, as we go through it, we'll have a better appreciation of this point. Yes?
Can it be that originally it was because of Vozara, but once it happened, it's Nitzli, and you still have to work out all the Gemaras, and like you would still have to write a series of
So you could just you could just say exactly, I think, what you're saying, which is, you're right, the Tam was for that, the Tam is Batl, but Batl Tam lo Batl Takana. Yeah, I think that, you know, at Pashup Shat, that's what he would say. But that's very problematic, because why is the Nitzchias HaTorah so important, and why did he give us so many mitzvos that are only relevant for such a, you know, for a short duration? So you're correct. It's not technically a kasha, but it's very problematic nonetheless. In other words, you could say, yeah, inachanami, batla taima lo batla takana, the mitzvos of a makom omdos, even though the tam is batal. And why are we so much davening? You're correct. But at least certainly believe me, it's a very strong question. Yes?
We say Vashem and the Vadav, we don't really say like Karbanos.
Avoda clearly means Karbanos.
It means sort of like, maybe like the...
Did you pay attention to Musaf today?
Right, so Karbanos.
Right?
So why don't we say
Kavanos
more explicitly in...
Avoda means... Vashem is Avoda means Kavanos.
So why don't we mention Kavanos more explicitly like in Shemoneh
Esrei? It's an interesting question. In the Bakashos we don't explicitly, but we do say Vashem is Avoda. It's a good Ha'ara. I don't think it gets rid of the Kasha, but it's a good Ha'ara. But just take a look at the Musaf you said today. Today's Rosh Chodesh, but you could look at Shabbos Musaf also. Or, right? Yantif Musaf.
Right.
I've opened up Yantif Musaf, so I'll read that one. Right? Right? We mamish ask for a return of the avoda. So, and again, the Rambam tells you, the Rambam would think if anyone were to be olal adas, last week we talked about someone who is kofir beikarim machmas, a mistake. So the Rambam would tell you, would say that a person who read his Sefer HaMitzvos, I mean his Mor Nevuchim, and said that Karbanos are betelim lasad lavo because the reason doesn't apply would be a kofar. Like we had last week, he wouldn't be a chelak in, he wouldn't have a chelak in Yisrael, and there would be a mitzvah to hate him, and he is a mint, right? This is, I missed last week. But, so this is very problematic. Okay. So when the Ramban quoted the Rambam, I'll just quote what he says from the Rambam, and then we'll see again that it's really much more complex. So the Rambam, he says, V'harav mazkir, shahayu, sorry, I started too late. V'harav, v'amar harav b'mor nevuchim, ki tam ha-karbanos ba'avur, sh'amitzrim ha-kazdim, asher hayu Yisrael gerim v'soshavim ba'artzam, me'olam hayu ovdim ha-kazdim. Right, so he says, ha-tam b'karbanos, the reason for karbanos. Okay, so what does the Rambam say? So we're going to see tonight is, as I said, four different things that the Rambam says about karbanos. And we will then offer some possible mahalchim. So open your booklets to page 9. We'll start with Hilchos Me'ilah. In Hilchos Me'ilah, he says very important hakdama in general to, don't worry, we're not just going to do Yad. The other three statements are going to be from the Moria, but it's important to start with the Mahalach and the Yad. And he's going to talk about an important statement generally about looking for Tamiya Mitzvos, and then we'll note what he says about Karbanos. And of course, this is the last halacha, the last two halachos in Seder Avoda. We know the Rambam likes to have a little, usually, Musar Shmuz at the end of each Sefer. And the Musar Shmuz always relate to the content of that Sefer. So here is an important lesson that the Rambam thinks you should leave after you've finished Seder Havoda of the Yad HaChazaka. Says the Rambam, Roi la'adam lisbonin b'mishpatei HaTorah Kedosha, v'lei dasof inyanam kifi kochal. A person should contemplate the laws of the Torah and to try to understand their ends to the extent of his ability. Meaning to say that you should look for Tamei HaMitzvah. To the extent possible, you shouldn't just say, this is the Ratzon Hashem, God said to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm not going to try to find the reasons. No, it's ra'oi to try to figure out the reasons. kefi kolcho. However, the davar shelo yimsa lo tam, the lo yeda lo ila, if there's something which you don't know the reason, you don't know its purpose, al yehi kal be'enav, it should not be light in his eyes. You shouldn't treat a mitzvah whose reasons you don't understand any more light, any lighter than a mitzvah whose reasons you do understand. The al yaharos la'alos el Hashem pen yefrot bo. Do not, as it were, attack God, lest he purge you. This is, of course, an allusion to the psukim that talk about the position of Klal Yisrael around Har Sinai, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned them, you have to make sure not to go up on the mountain, lest you die. Right? You can't go too high, as it were. So too here, if a person goes ahead and treats mitzvos whose reasons he doesn't understand lightly, so he's essentially being, poreitz gader. Velote machshavto bo kemachshavto b'shar divrechol. Your approach to mitzvot should not be similar to your approach on all other secular matters. Meaning to say, when it comes to secular matters, if there's something that I don't understand, I shouldn't do it. A rational person doesn't, we're on page 9. A rational person does not do that which he doesn't understand. However, saying when it comes to mitzvos, your approach should be different. Bo re kamech mir tor b'me'ila. And he's going to draw an analogy from me'ila. Just like me'ila is such a big aveira, so too he's going to, the nimshal is that treating chukim lightly is a terrible aveira. What's the kavachomer? Uma im eitzim v'avanim afar ve'efer kevan shenikra shem adon ha'olam aleihem bidvarim bilvad niskachu. If inanimate objects simply by being makdish them become kadosh, and then v'chol anoig bo min hagchol ma'al b'hashem v'afilu haya shogeg tzach kapara, such that subsequently if you in any way benefit from them, you've been mo'el, you need a kapara, even if it's b'shogeg kavachomer l'mitzvos shechachak lenu HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelo yivot adam bahen mipnei shelo yada ta'aman. Certainly when it comes to mitzvos that God gave us, that you shouldn't disgrace them or kick them or treat them lightly just because you don't know the reason. Velo yichape dvarim asher lo kein al Hashem velo yachshov ben machshavto b'divrei chol. Harei ne'amar b'Torah, ushmartem es kol chukosai ves kol mishpatai v'asisam osam v'amu chachamim liten shmir v'asiyah l'chukim kimishpatim v'asiyah yedua. So the Torah says you have to do asiya when it comes to chukim. That's pashut, that's actually doing them. What does shmira mean? When the Torah says you should be shomer, you should guard, you should protect. It means that you have to be careful not to treat them any less lightly or imagine that they're any less important than mishpatim. V'mishpatim ena mitzvah shetaman galoi v'tovas asiyasan v'olam azeh yedua. Interesting. The what is a mishpat? A mishpat is a mitzvah whose reason is known or is obvious or is intuitive, and its benefit in Olam Hazeh is known. We'll get back to these definitions next week, Bezras Hashem. Kegon, Iser, Gazel, Shichos Damim, V'Kibud Avaim, like stealing or murder or honoring one's parents. V'chukim heina amitzvos she'ein ta'aman yadua. What are chukim? Mitzvos whose reasons are not known. Amru chachamim, chukim shechakakti lecha, ve'in lecha reshus laharher bahen. The Yitzhak shall adam no kfo bahen, umo sa'ola mishivin alayhen. Once Yitzhar Hara makes them, question them, the umo sa'olam are meshiv alayhem, kigon iser basar chazir, basar chalav, egla rufa, upar aduma, the siyam shtalach. What are examples of chukim? So he has here all mitzvos. First of all, who we're going to see in the Mor Nevuchim, he's going to give reasons for, right? In other words, a chok does not mean a mitzvah which we don't know at all. Like he says, Shlomo Melech knew the reasons for almost all the mitzvahs. Perhaps they're not intuitive. And second of all, he includes, what's most relevant for us here, kadshim. In other words, karbanos, he points out specifically to Egla Rufa, Paradum, and Sir Mishtaleach, which are particularly perplexing, but karbanos are examples of chukim. Chukim are mitzvahs whose reasons we don't know. And to note, he's going to give, when he talks about these mitzvos, these even specific ones, like Paradum and Sir Mishtaleach, let's say Sir Mishtaleach, he's going to say, in Mor Nevuchim, these relate to Avodah Zarah. But here, he says they're chukim. Okay? So this is very important. Statement number one, karbanos are chukim. Okay? That's statement one. We'll just finish the Rambam. V'kamaya David HaMelech mitzarim min aminim v'agayim shayim eshivin al achukim. The calls man shayu rodfin oso b'tshubos ha-sheker she'orchen lefanav kotzer lefi kotzer da'as ha'adam hayam mosiv dveika b'torah. Fascinating, right? The more they used to pursue David with these silly tshuvos, these questions, that would cause David great tzar, but it would also cause him increased dveikus ta'kadosh baruch hu, hayam mosiv dveika b'torah. Shenamar taflu alai sheker zeidim ani b'chol lev otzer pikudacha. V'nemar sham b'inyan kol mitzvosecha emunah sheker v'defuni ozvuni. There are ways, many ways to understand why this is true, but it's true. The more people have tainas on something and they force you to try to understand it better, it increases dveikus. Okay.
For you.
Addressing yeah.
These issues. Is he saying that melee happened, or is he saying that's how David would respond?
Yeah, you think that's what it means?
Himself would be mosiv as a response to it.
He would be, but mosiv dveikus, what does that mean, mosiv dveikus? Hay mosiv, second, let me read it. She'orchen lefi kotzer da'atam, hay mosiv davka b'Torah, you're saying that was his responses. How would he respond by being madbik to the Torah? Okay, in achanami. But I think they're the same. Okay, good. So that's statement number one, that they're chukim. Statement number two, we're going to look. It's from Mor Nevuchim Chelek Gimel, Perek Chaf Vav. It's quoted earlier in this book, as I said, because when I originally did this, I did it out of order. I planned to do the general first, not the specific. But if you turn to, page one, actually. Okay. This parak, Chavav, we're going to do in detail next week. It's a very important parak. I'm going to summarize the beginning, and as I said, we'll read through it next week. The Rambam basically goes ahead, and he says, well, there's two views in Chazal, whether mitzvos have a reason or don't have a reason. We accept the view that they have a reason. All mitzvos have a reason. Fine. Very good. It's very foolish to think that mitzvos don't have a reason, and basically everybody agrees mitzvos do have a reason. He talks about the Mishnah about Shiluach HaKein, that light, and that we'll talk about next week, Be'ezras Hashem. So, okay, mitzvos have a reason. Now, the question then is, though, do the details have a reason? So the Rambam says that he found a source in Chazal which seems to indicate that they don't. It's from the Bereishis Rabbah, Mem Dalet Aleph. And the Medrash basically asks, why does it matter to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if we do Shechita from the front of the neck or the back of the neck? In other words, we know we have Shechita, which is from this part of the neck. And there's Malika, there are times where we actually kill an animal from the back. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care? What difference does it make to HaKadosh Baruch Hu how I slaughter my animals? It doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't make a lot of difference.
One is kosher and one is pasul. You have to shech the animal from here, yeah. So, from the front of the neck. So what difference does it make to God? Why does God care? The old question, everybody, why does God care if I eat this? What does God... Fine. So that's the kasha that they ask. So the answer is, lo nitnu el tzarfis abrios. Now what does that mean? So it's unclear. Next week we'll see other interpretations. We'll see the Maharal, we'll see the Ramban. But the way the Rambam understands that Medrash is saying, you're right. You're right. It doesn't matter to HaKadosh Baruch Hu whether it's to the front or the back. But the purpose of mitzvos is letzarif es abrios, meaning to say that there aren't reasons for the details of the mitzvos. We need them perhaps to instill obedience. We need there to be details. But there isn't reasons necessarily for the details. And if you turn to page 3, 10, 15 lines down. These translations that I have from Anavuchim are from not a great translation. The reason why I use it for source sheets is because it's a very old translation and it's public, in the public domain. So you could just copy and paste from it, which makes it easier. And I don't do the Hebrew, at least with, because anyway, it's in translation. But perhaps another time we could talk about what the best ways practically to learn Mor Nevuchim. It's not necessarily this way, but for now, this is good enough. So I will now tell you, I'm at like 10 lines down here on page 3, I will now tell you what intelligent persons ought to believe in this respect, namely that each commandment necessarily has a cause, right? So the mitzvos in general have a reason for them, as far as its general character is concerned, serves a certain object. But as regards to its details, we hold that it has no ulterior object. So then he goes ahead and he says, well, the truth is that the example that the Medrash Bereishis Rabba gives isn't a good example, because it's actually very simple why the Torah would want us to shech from the front of the animal, not the back of the animal. It's much less painful, and it's a much better form of shechita. If you know, slaughtering from the front of the animal is better. But I'll give you a better example of this principle, of where we see, what's the principle? The principle is that the details don't have reasons, but the general reasons do, general mitzvahs do, and that's in the next paragraph. A more suitable instance can be cited from the detailed commandments concerning sacrifices. So, right, one of the overwhelming things about Sefer Vayikra and learning Kachim is the amount of details in Karbanos, right? So many, and they're so different. Why is it that an Ola and a Shlamim and an Asham have Zrika Shnaim Shein Arba, but Chata says an Arba Karnos? And why is it that Kachim have to be Bitsafon and Kachim Kalim have to be Bidarel? Or they don't have to be, they don't have to be Bitsafon, right? Why is it that an Asham has a specific value and other Karbanos don't? Why is it an Ola is completely burnt and other Karbanos aren't? You can go on and on and on. Millions of details. Why? So he's saying, well, no, they don't really have a reason. The reason for Karbanos, there is a reason for Karbanos. He doesn't tell it to you what now, but he says, he takes for granted there is a reason for Karbanos in general. But why the details? Why there's sometimes Shvicha and sometimes Zrika? No reason. The law that sacrifices should be brought is evidently of great use, as will be shown. Say, we're going to look at that shortly. It says here, chapter 46, which we'll get to. But we cannot say why one offering should be a lamb while another should be a ram, why a fixed number of them should be brought. Those who trouble themselves to find a cause for any of these detailed rules are, in my eyes, void of sense. They do not remove any difficulties, but rather increase them. If you try to say drush about why is it this, those who believe that these detailed rules originate in a certain cause are far from the truth as those who assume that the whole law is useless. Just like someone who says there aren't reasons for mitzvos is a fool, so too someone who says that there are reasons for all the details is a fool. You must know that the divine wisdom demanded it, or if you prefer, say the circumstances made it necessary that there be parts of his work which have no certain object. It's important that there be details to the law that don't have a purpose. As regards the law, it appears to be impossible that it should not include some manner of this kind. One of the things we're going to talk about next week, Be'ezras Hashem, is that, generally speaking, those who disagree with the Rambam at this point, and certainly it's their primary shita, will generally argue with the Rambam al pisod, meaning to say they'll concede that from a rationalist perspective there are no, you can't give reasons for all the details, you can't explain. Some you might be able to give, but you can't really give reasons for all these details. And in a certain sense, there's a haskama between the Rambam and let's say everyone else for now, that you're right. From a rationalist perspective, you can't come to an understanding. The difference is that the Rambam rejected mystical interpretations and they accept them. And again, we'll discuss that a little more next week when we compare the Mahalchim. But they agree, there's agreement in a certain sense that from a rationalist perspective, you can't explain the details. Yeah.
But like the details are so descriptive. Like, I was saying, like, well, why would they exist as such if there was no reason?
It's a good question.
So
I think the Rambam from here would perhaps say, and we're going to see more about this because we're going to see it's not as simple as here. As we mentioned last week, I think, when we talked about the sheet of the Rambam, especially when we're doing Mar Nevuchim, we're going to see many, many contradictions whenever we study Rambam and Mar Nevuchim. Tonight is a great example. And as I mentioned, he writes in his introduction why contradictions exist and why they're included specifically in this book. And one of the reasons that he says, as we said, is because the matters that he discusses in Mar Nevuchim are matters which can't be taught publicly. They fall under the prohibition of the Mishnah Chagiga that says that Mais Bereishis and Mais Merkava cannot be taught publicly. And to avoid that prohibition, he's including contradictions to make sure that the person who's not fit to study this won't study it, or at least will find it unintelligible. And those who are fit to study it will understand his true intention. So perhaps he had higher than realistic expectations of his readers. But in terms of this point, if we're just looking at this paragraph, I would say that the Rambam is saying like this. It's important for a law book to be full of details. Meaning to say, if he didn't tell you yet the purpose of Karbanos, but let's say there is a purpose. But it wouldn't accomplish that purpose if HaKadosh Baruch Hu just said, okay, look, bring Karbanos and do it however you want. You want to do four corners, do four corners. You want to do two corners, you do two corners. You want to do three corners, do three. You want to do one, you do one. No. For now, we'll say, because of obedience, it's important that there be specific details. However, by definition, those details can't have reasons, and therefore they don't. But you're right.
So the details
your question
are just
for the purposes of obedience. For now, let's say
so
like
the
function
that. Function on them just to be detailed. In which case, it's arbitrary as to their composition. It could
exactly.
Have been
exactly. If you just had what he says here,
right.
That's what you would think. Now, again, we don't just have what he says here. We're going to consider other things, and I certainly understand why that would be very troubling.
Just like Marshall, like we have the speed limit of 65 miles an hour. So fundamentally, we like the idea of speed limit, but there's something bedavka at 65 that makes it
right.
Dangerous.
Exactly. And every legal system, that's certainly true for every legal system, as he's about to point out, we'll just read the next paragraph and you'll see that, right? That it cannot be avoided may be seen from the following instance. How do I know this is true? It says like this. You can ask why a lamb should be sacrificed and not a ram. But if the Torah said bring a ram, you'd ask why bring a ram and not a lamb. The same could be question, why were there seven lambs and not eight? The same question we ask, why, if there were eight, why weren't they seven or 20? So long as some definitive number of lambs were sacrificed. It is almost similar to the nature of a thing which can receive different forms, but actually receives one of them. Okay. So that's what he says here, exactly what you said in this mashal. In other words, we all agree you need a speed limit, like I said. Why 65, not 64, 66? Is 65 any better than 64, 66? No, but you need something, and this is as good as any. He was asking, well, still, why do you need details? Why do you leave it random? And that's what I was answering, perhaps because a law without any details would be problematic. Okay, so here we have statement number two. Statement number one was from Milchus Me'ilah that they're chukim. Statement number two is that there's a reason for them, but not for the details, which already is against the way the Ramban quoted the Rambam, right? Okay, what about statement number three? So go back to page 9. Okay, chapter 46 of the Mon Vuchim is very important, really page 10. It's all about the reasons for Karbanos. We're not going to be able to read the whole thing. I would urge you to do so if you want to understand the Rambam's position here. This is probably the most important of Perek on this topic. Okay, he starts off. The precepts of the 11th class are enumerated in the section of Seder Avot and Seder Karbanos. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim in the third Chelek divides mitzvos into 14 sections. The Rambam liked the number 14. It's not just Yad HaChazaka, which is 14, of course, and 14 classifications of mitzvos. There are a number of others. Somebody thought it was sort of interesting that they're Yud Gimel Karim, though. But anyway, there are many. The Rambam liked classifications. He was a master classifier, and he divides all mitzvahs into 14. So, section number 11 is Karbanos. Okay. And now I'm going to give you the reason for each precept. So, essentially, I'm going to say outside, but this is very important. Oh, we'll read it a little together. Side. Pardon my paraphrasing. And as I said, please, by all means, read it yourself in detail. Okay, the Torah tells us that the Egyptians worshipped the Tle. This you see from Psukim more or less explicitly, right? Already from the time when Yosef comes down with the brothers to Mitzrayim, it says that they hate. Tovas HaMitzrayim are those who watch sheep. The Jewish people say that if we slaughter these animals, they'll kill us. It's clear that the Egyptians from Sukkim in many places worshipped sheep. Okay? Then we have the Tzaba again, the Sabians. They worshipped demons in the form of goats, right? Like we said, Lo Yizbechu Od La'Se'irim. Okay, and what other animals are there? So he says, you go to India, Adiyom Hazeh. Rambam wrote Adiyom Hazeh in his time, it's Adiyom Hazeh in our time. My father just got back from India. It's still true. They worship the cow. The cow is sacred. Even in big cities with millions of people, there could be cows walking in the streets and they stop traffic, right? Okay, so he says here, and this is very important, because he says, why do we worship? Sorry. Why is it that karbanos, all karbanos, come from the following three species of mammals, either sheep, goats, or cows? Because these are the three species that were most worshipped in the ancient world. And the Torah tells us that in order to distance ourselves from the idolatry that they served at that time, so you should slaughter these animals. And the Rambam goes ahead, beautifully explains that's the idea of Karban Pesach. All the chukim relating to Karban Pesach were that point. Why, for example, does the Torah stress that it has to be tzli'esh and it can't be cooked? Right? Because they wanted to eradicate the belief of the sacredness of the sheep. So they said slaughter it and sacrifice it, which is something that the Egyptians would never do. And don't just do it in a private way. Make a barbecue. It has to be roasted. Everybody knows that if you cook something in your kitchen, if you boil meat, so only you'll be able to smell in your house. But if you barbecue it, the whole neighborhood will smell the lamb chops, right? So roast it so everybody could smell, right? And that's why you put it on a door, and that's why they dragged it through the street. All of this because to counteract this belief in the divinity of the sheep. And likewise, they worshipped Se'irim, like we said. So karbanos are brought from goats. And the Indians and others worship the cows, so that's why karbanos are brought from cows. Now, to answer up, we already quoted the Ramban. The Ramban quotes the Rambam saying the purpose of karbanos was to counteract the idolatrous inclinations of the Jews at the time. So the Ritva already defends the Ramban by saying the Ramban didn't read carefully enough. He doesn't say over here that's the purpose of karbanos. He says that's the purpose of the species of karbanos. Why did the Torah choose these specific species? Because these were the species that were served at that time. Ramban doesn't like that answer either, but, and you could see his questions are not, you know, impossible questions. He says that by bringing karbanos, you're lending honor to these animals. But the Rambam would say, no, Adarabba, because they would never kill these animals. They would sacrifice to the animals, but they would never sacrifice the animals. So too, we're counteracting, so therefore we're counteracting that thing. So that's very important. And it's pretty explicit, right? To the above reason for the exclusive selection of three kinds of animals for the sacrifice. That's why, because they serve them. Then he asks, well, why did they bring birds? He says, because poor people need a karban, and minachos also. That's why poor people need to bring a karban. And he says that's why, if you look, the idolatrous people, they used to bring karbanos from lions and tigers and bears. The Torah didn't want us to do that because that was very expensive. We wanted animals that are all easily available. Okay, so he goes through all the reasons. But again, he doesn't say that this was the reason for karbanos here. He does say that elsewhere. But here, which is actually the part that the Ramban is quoting, he says that's the reason for the species of karbanos. That's the beginning of this parak. We're going to skip till the end now, but again, please read it, very important, till the very end. And here the Rambam, which is on page 13 of this chapter, and here the Rambam's talking about more details as to which karbanos are being brought and why. Now here it's very important, because he starts getting into the details, which he told you that only a foolish person would do, but he starts giving the reasons of the details. So he's explaining, for example, he explains why chatas is nekeva, and an ola is a zachar. He explains here why a chatas for avodah zarah is dafka a goat, but other chatos could be a sheep or a goat. He explains why minchas chote can't be brought, you know, has no lavona or shemen. And he starts getting into in this chapter the reasons. Now, I'm not saying yes into every single reason, but you know, you might have gotten the impression from that first chapter we saw that you shouldn't offer any reasons for details of karbanos. So absolutely not. The Rambam thinks that you should offer reasons, not just for the species in general, but for the details. So we'll look at the last paragraph and you'll see this point. The greater the sin which a person had committed, the lower the species from which the sin offering was brought. The offering for worshipping idols is in ignorance was only a shigot, while for other sins, meaning ignorance, meaning b'shogeg, while for other sins it could be a lamb or a goat, right? Why? Why is avodah zarah different than others? Because avodah zarah is worse. So a goat is lower than a sheep. Now, why is it that chatos are females and olas are males? Because an ola is not for such an chamor aveira. It's only for bitol aseh. Chatos is for a chamor aveira. Female animals, maybe females in general, but we'll say for now, for females, animals, the Rambam sheet about women, we could do another time also, it's very interesting. But females, animals are lower value, lower class than male animals, so therefore a chatos is an akeva and an ola is a zachar.
Why is that real true? The greater the sin, the lower the animal?
Right,
why
to show that, you that you can't bring for a carbon a high animal, right? A chash of a person brings a chash of carbon.
Isn't a great sin, what do you want to bring a greater...
No, so that's the irony. He's saying no. He's saying, if that were the pshat, then if you're like paying back God, so you're right. But that's not the pshat. The pshat is that you sinned, so you bring a bezyaina stick of carbon. You're not even fit to bring a male carbon. You bring garbage. Chas from real garbage. But that's, right, that's saying the greater the sin, the lower the species. Right? And that's why if the Sanhedrin was morin correctly, but they didn't actually do it, it's a bull. And he goes through the various karbanos and explains. For this reason, right, that's what he says, just skipping to the bold, right? The same principle that luxury of incense were absent from the obligations of sinner, right? The sota, in these cases, we're talking about minchas chote, oil and frankincense were not added, meaning, say, all other menachos, except for minchas chote and minchas sota, minchas kenos, had shemen v'lavona, and these don't. Why? The luxury is absent because the persons that brought the obligations were not good and proper in their deeds. Right? Oh, now listen to this line. And this is not the only place he has this line, this idea. And they are, as it were, to be reminded of by their offerings that they ought to repent. The purpose of the karbanos is to remind you to do tshuva. As if they were told, you're offering without any ornamental additions, meaning why aren't you bringing shemen v'lavona, is on account of the wickedness of your deeds. And since the sota acted even more disgracefully, so she brings an even lower min. She brings barley. Thus the reasons of all these particular laws. Note, particulars. He's explaining the details. Are well connected to show the precepts are wonderful in their significance. So first of all, whose reason for karbanos does this remind you of? The Ramban! He's telling you that the purpose of the karbanos, or at least the details of the karbanos, is to remind the chote of how bad their sin was. Why do you bring the min? Why does the minchas chote have no shemen v'lavona? It's the only mincha not to have shemen v'lavona, to remind you that sin is disgraceful. And the minchas kenos is even worse. So it's barley, to remind you like you're an animal, to remind you to do tshuva, he says. Right? So, first of all, the Rambam is not so far from the Ramban. He doesn't say it exactly like the Ramban, he doesn't talk about smicha, but the idea that the details of the karbanos are to remind a person and internalize the gravity of their sin, he certainly agrees with. Oh. You also see that he's trying to give details, reasons for details. So, just putting those two points together, I would assume what he needs to say is, you shouldn't try to offer reasons for every single detail, but to say that all details are arbitrary is also totally incorrect. There are reasons for lots of details. But don't go ahead and try to give a reason for every detail. If you come up with a reason, good. If not, so don't give dochak reasons. Say it's a chok. Right? So again, when you think about it, all these things aren't contradictions, but they do point out, and you know, I imagine that there are probably many other discussions in the Rambam and Karbanos that I don't know of. These are the ones I found, right? But they do point out the complexity. You can't just read one sentence of Ran Vulchem and say, ah, this is what the Rambam held. Ah. One other section we'll do, the fourth statement, is from Parakuf Beis. It's late, so I'm going to read it to you outside. But there, basically, he does give the reason that it's because of the a concession to the idolatrous inclinations of the Jews at the time. He says something that's very interesting, which we don't have time to talk about tonight. But he gives a mashal. He says, just like it would be if a Navi came and said, you should no longer daven or fast to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should just serve God in pure thought, so that would be impossible to listen to, and it would be a bad thing to say. So too, if a Navi were to have told the Jewish people at the time that they left Egypt that they can't do karbanos, that would have been the same. Here he's implying that ideal form of God, this form of service of God, is through thought. The purpose perhaps of tshuva and of tanios and tefillah is to achieve those thoughts. Which is interesting, and perhaps if we talked about the Rambam Shita on Tainis and Tefillah, we would talk about this paragraph. And he's saying the same thing. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if Moshe would have told the Jews at the time, stop all karbanos, it would have been the equivalent. It would have been something that's impossible. Would have been counterproductive. Oh. So how do we resolve all this? So I'm not going to resolve everything. I'll quote a couple of Mahalchim, though, and some thoughts. And as I said, it's very late. Okay, first of all, many answers have been offered to the Rambam. The Mor Nevuchim, for example, in this week's parsha at the beginning, writes that when the Rambam writes that it's to counteract the idolatrous inclinations of the Jews at the time, he was talking about Bamos. Regarding Bamos, Dibra Tor Keneged Yetzirah, the Meshech Chachma. In other words, Bamos are really not ideal. Bamos Yachid, at the very least. But the Torah allowed them because if HaKadosh Baruch would have told the Jews at a time when they didn't have a Beis HaMikdash that they can't bring any karbanos, that would have been too difficult. And because they had this taiva, this yen for sacrificing, for the sacrificial rites and cult and like. But avade karbanos in the Mikdash were not just to counteract the idolatrous inclinations. And that's why Bamos were basically ultimately outlawed. Once the Beis HaMikdash was built, Bamos were never again permitted. Right? Kilo basim alam nucha la nachla. Once they came to Menucha Nachla, then there was no more karbanos, no more Bamos. That's one approach. And very good, very legitimate approach. Another approach is to note that where he says in chapter 32, where he says that the reason is you know to counteract the idolatrous inclinations, he's talking about seemingly you could be medayik, it's not explicit, but he's talking about karbanos nidava. Karbanos chova were not to counteract the idolatrous inclinations. They had an inherent value, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them. And the Rambam there talks about why, if you look at so many places in Nevi'im, the Nevi'im always were chastising the Jewish people. Lamali Rosiv Rechem, right? There's so many places in Tanakh where HaKadosh Baruch Hu chastises the Jewish people essentially for not having the right hargashos. In chapter 32, he makes this point. He quotes many, many psukim to this effect, where lamali rosev chaychem, right? You know, one of the great places is Tehillim Perk Nun, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shima Ami, Vadaber Yisrael, Va'idabach, Elokim, Elokecha Nochi, Lo al zvachecha al chichecha ve'ol lo sechel en negdi samid. Lo akach mi beis chapar mi mil chosecha atudim. Kilicho chayso yar behemos beharireya aleph. Right, and he says, what do I want? Zvach leluhim toda v'shalem l'alion nidarecha, etc. Essentially, what the Nevi'im say, as explained by the Rambam, is that the Jewish people became addicted to karbanos nedava. They went ahead and they brought them to sort of justify their actions. Like the Nevi'im say, you go ahead at the same time you're bringing the karbanos, you're oppressing the poor, you're being wicked and cruel people, you're even, you know, being oved bebamos and doing avodah zarah at the same time you're bringing karbanos, right? Like Shmuel says to Shaul, what do I care about following the mitzvos, not bringing karbanos? So what does that mean? It means that the purpose of nedarim and nedavos, for the most part, was not ideal. That was the concession to the idolatrous inclination, because people felt the need to bring karbanos. So they said, okay, HaKadosh Baruch said, you want to bring olos, nedarim and nedavos whenever you want, you can bring nedarim and nedavos or not. But karbanos chova, so those do serve purposes. Like he said, for example, about the chatas, it's to remind the person to do tshuva.
Who said that?
I saw that in a couple of places. One that I remember is in an essay by Rabbi Isidore Epstein. Isidore Epstein was a leader of the British Jewish community. I'm not sure when he passed away, probably 30, 40, 50 years ago. He was the, among other things, he did a lot. He wrote a lot of nice philosophy books. He was the editor of the Sansino Talmud, the translation, before Artskol came around. So he had this idea. I think that was the first place I saw it. Subsequently, I saw others that made this diuk. So there are a number of mahalchim. I think that for our purposes now, and we'll continue next week, to get, again, the idea, to get the impression that it's not a simple point. First of all, the complexity of Mar Nevuchim in general, specifically the complexity about Torah, about Tamei HaMitzvos. Here again, we had four different things said. Each one on its own would imply something very different. And when you put them together, you begin to have an impression of maybe what the Rambam held. As I said, there are probably more things that I haven't even seen or remembered to round it out. Okay. Yashar Koach. Thank you so much.
Just to clarify, when the Rambam is saying that there's no, you can't say hey, it's happening for the present,
mm-hmm.
Does that mean to say that there's no other thing, or is it that it's beyond the human comprehension to whatever?
He seems to be saying that there's no such thing. You could interpret him perhaps as saying that second point. The Pashup Shat in Manavulchim is that there is no reason. Most other people say, of course, there's a reason, you just can't understand it. And maybe it's possible to say that's what the Rambam held also.
See you next week.
God willing. But it's not the Pashup Shat.
Can I suggest? Yeah. Next week you're doing a time mitzvah, so next week is probably Purim. The week after, and then you're going to stay there.
Next week is Purim?
No.
Oh, 2 weeks, yeah. So we won't have Shir that the Sunday Purim, Fezus Hashem.
And after that,
maybe we would, but not here.
Maybe we could do the Seder of Siva Purim Shiva.